feet first. And we're with Mary Alice and Bill Birch. And it's Ed Schemel and Margo Hunt doing the interviewing. So you were telling us about carving or paving decoys. Tell a little bit about what you're going to do for Christmas.
Well, this year we have 5 grandkids, and we got some little gold patches, about 2.5 to 3 inches long, and each one of the grandkids is going to get one. So this morning, I was going to have it in the workshop. I picked up a little teeny piece of cottonwood, and I just took a band of salt, and I just zip one out, and I got to put one later on and sand it, and start carving it out the way I want it, then I'll start painting it.
So they're all be different?
Yeah. I'm not going to have them all the
different poses, so their heads will be turned different ways.
That way, and on the bases, I'll have different poses for the bases.
Do you have decoy carving in your family?
No.
How did you learn to do this?
When I was a kid growing up, a guy by the name of Dave Sneed, he used to come over to the house, and he was real good friends with my dad. And there was a table that we're sitting right now, and I'd sit and watch him. He would carve flying birds. And I watched him, and I just got a knack for that. And what I like doing, I like carving them, and then taking wood burning, the feathers in there, and then painting.
Have you been to the Ward Museum and seen those beautiful carvings up there?
That's
a wonderful trip. Those carvings are glorious.
I'm no expert, but I just do a half on it.
That's great. That's wonderful. Well, where did you grow up?
On 127 Match Boulevard.
Where is 127? What's there now?
What's real estate agent? Now it's a church side of there at the ice cream place.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's still there.
Mr. Whitby.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Whitby, and the next house to it.
Mm-hmm.
To the right of it.
Uh-huh. And what school did you go to?
Shinkley Elementary, Shinkley High School.
So you went to the Red Brick Elementary School,
mm-hmm.
and you walked?
Mm-hmm.
And you walk to the high school?
No, we took through a bus on it. On occasion, we could walk up there. My first school was to Miss Jeff. Her name was Miss Jester.
Mm-hmm.
Kindergarten on Clark Street. She had a little place there. But then we went to the elementary school. And I think the first grade teacher was Miss Jester, then Miss Dill, Miss Gillis, Miss Tarr, Miss Powell. Miss Watson.
That's good. I couldn't remember why.
They were in elementary.
Uh-huh.
And then when we got to high school in 7th grade, it was Tyler Connor used to call school name. In this leading room.
Did you go to the same?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Were you in the same grade?
No.
You were a couple years ahead of us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you met in high school. Have you known each other? Where did she live?
I knew her brother. Her brother and I were real close to her.
I see. And I kept asking my brother to get me a date with Brother Birch, and my brother kept saying, I think you and Jevons are going to go out with you. That's not fair.
So how far behind Jevons is school?
2 years.
And when did you graduate?
71.
And you were 73.
So after high school, what did you set about to do?
After high school, I did 1 year, went to college for 1 year, then I got smarter in college, and we got married. And I got married,
was David Sneed?
It was David Sneed,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Gene Taylor, Willie Fields, P.J. Blake, they were the four of all time. Did that for 15 years. Gene Taylor was the owner of the business, and we'd go out and do contract work for him. And then he took us over to working for him, to David. And I worked with David 5 years ago.
Good
time. Yeah. And so we went separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're coming back from that ring.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd never left it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what did you leave it to do?
Well, the...
Manager store,
community stores. A thankless job.
Right here on the island?
No, it was for a bagwall company down in Hancock.
The Cornwall stores.
Cornwall stores.
Mm-hmm.
He supervised all the Cornwall stores and stores.
Yeah.
I started the one here on Shakespeare Farm.
What is that? What's the word?
Bagwell.
Bagwell Company.
Oh, Bagwell.
Bagwell Oil.
And was the Carmore Stores.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing.
C-O-R-K-E-R. Carmore.
Okay.
When, well, how did you land back here? And you were living in Chicoteague all this time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I said, you never really left.
No. We took in, when we first got married, we rented places. And then, I guess it was 7 years ago.
About 7 years.
We took a fine little piece of land up here to Paul's Circle Drive. And we had a trailer, we put it there. And then from there, we were, you know, putting for, you know, getting a nice house.
We got married with a real house, one circle drive. Then we moved into grandparents for like 4 months. So we were in Rush School, and then we went to Cleveland Street.
Riverside,
then we bought the trail and bought the people on the circle drive. We went back up there. Then we went to Templeville.
That's where I was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All the pieces of property over there.
And you're still there?
No, we were there 8 years. Then we bought a house in Chicoteague and moved back to Chicoteague. We lived here 8 years. Then we sold our house in Chicoteague and moved back to the mainland to add to one.
We were living on the mainland. At that time, period, I was working in the stores, Carmore Stores,
mm-hmm.
and Morales, where we grew up on the island.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, our daughter was just getting her license, and our son was in the police. So I said, it's going to be cheaper for us just to move back to the island. And that's what we did.
But unfortunately, you're not here now.
No.
They grew up. And
well, we'd like you to come back.
Maybe.
So tell us, give us some remembrances that you have of growing up. Were you around when the flood was here? Or tell a little bit about that, what you remember about the flood.
Well, like I said, I grew up on Mouse Boulevard. Morales grew up on our church in Willow. And Mouse Boulevard is not like it is this day and time. We could ride a bicycle up and down there, not worry about getting hit by a car or something like that. It was a good little place. And after riding my bicycle from there to my grandma's house over on Hampton Avenue, just do that up Friday night or Friday afternoon after school, and just probably stay all weekend to John and us, the James. But from where I lived, you could walk to the elementary school. We cut through people's yards. Some people didn't, but we had to shark up to the door before you walk out on Main Street and go around. But it was real good. One of our tricks that I saw that when I was coming over here this morning was in the summertime, we had a mosquito truck, we call it. And then we used to take it, and whenever we'd come down to the road, they'd say all the roads would burn oil, and they would take and make it smoke like a fog.
Is that the same thing they have now?
Sort of, kind of, but this was a little bit older than that. But they would take and go down the road, and us boys would get on our bicycle and fucking back of it.
That's
most people
they
do. It was just, and when we were kids, like in wintertime, it was colder then than it is now. We could go from my house and ice skate. It was a little glade right beside my house where the park place is. We could skate that, cross over Taylor Street. The only little depth because I see it cleaned up back behind the high school. That's what we used to call salt ponds now. It was fun. I mean, all the families were real close. I mean, if you were having fried chicken for supper, your neighbor knew it, and you could tell they were having fried potatoes or whatever. I mean, everybody was real close.
So you had a lot of picnics?
Sort of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the flood a little bit.
Well, I was in elementary school. And my mom, she was working at Dr. Shelley's. She was a nurse at Dr. Shelley's. He had this office on Willow Street. And I can remember it raining real hard, real gray, nasty day. And my dad, he was driving the truck, I believe, at that time. So my sister and I would get out of elementary school and we would go to my Aunt Edith's house, which was right next door to it. And then mom would try to pick us up, and we'd walk over to my grandma and grandpa Jones on Hampton Avenue. Well, we stayed there that night, and I can remember Dad parked his car. It was a street light, a street telephone pole, right in front of my father's house. And that part's harder. Well, they kept saying the weather was going to be real bad and all of that. Us kids who thought, hey, let's go to my dad's house. And we stayed there, and the water started rising. Well, the next morning, when we got up, we could look at my father's house. It was real hot off the ground, and the water was halfway to Dad's car. And that was parked right there on the road. And you could see it lapping across. So we watched that, and my grandma, she had always had a gas cooker, so she fixed breakfast for us and everything. And the water kept rising like this. And my grandpa, he had a white picket fence coming all the way across his friend's house. And grandpa and I were sitting on the back porch there, and he says, look, and we look back there, and we watched these rats. It's weird, but we watched these street rat rats get on top of these pickets and go to the top. Hop across them, and then eventually the water kept on rising and they went away. But when that storm, the only reason the water got into my grandma and grandpa's house was they had broken windows underneath the foundation, because they used to open them up. And my grandfather always had a garden, and he'd take the potatoes and vegetables, and we'd store them in the wintertime underneath there. But the windows finally gave way because of the pressure. But when the water rushed in underneath his house, he had what we call floor furnace. And that popped the floor furnace up out of the floor on the outside of the water from it. But the water only got about 6 or 8 inches in his house.
Well, how hard was it on the ground where you were at?
Oh.
5 feet or so?
Yeah, at least 5. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Anderton is not very high.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's really high.
It was real high, yeah. And we took him right there. We went upstairs, and after a while, kind of like summer down, and Dad, he went out with a guy named Jack Dempsey. And I want to say it was Frog Watson or somebody like that. They had scout boats, and they started picking people up. There was some smaller houses and were in peril. And they were taken to the Union Baptist Church around the corner there. Well, eventually, I didn't want to leave my grandpa, because my grandpa, he's sort of kind of like raised. My dad was a well truck in service and all. And my grandpa, he taught me all my values and like carpenter work right on up. Well, Papa said he was going to stay there because I used to ask him. He had a man that has to stay there with him. But he ended up going to the Baptist church. We stayed there a couple of days, I think. Then the helicopter came. The border went down, the helicopter came. And we were flown over to NASA and put in those barracks over there.
So the helicopter came, where did it land, didn't it?
Landed right there in the church parking lot.
Right on the parsonage. It's right back in the corner.
So that wasn't so high. That wasn't so flooded.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, it was flooded.
It was flooded, but the water had receded. It had gone down.
I see. They had to carry it on the shoulders. Mm-hmm.
How many did the helicopter hold? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
It
wasn't a lot.
Was that pretty
exciting
for kids?
It was.
And
it took us over to the base of the off side.
We stayed there a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
And the bad part about that, you got to get shots.
You come out to the island and go to the firehouse before you could go to your home to get comfort with shots.
Well, everything was. Good. There was dead birds all over the place.
Everything.
Animals.
Mm-hmm. We had a dog, my mom, we had on medical home. And that was one where we had a little collie dog, and Dad, the night before, let it loose, and, you know, hooked him to stay in the house there, and we lost that little fella. But I put him on there, and I asked Dick, my brother Forrester, I can remember Dad talking about it the day we had something to do with the park, I met him.
Yeah.
They just plain dying, and they had to grow the graves and cover them up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people on the island here, they had chicken houses. I mean, they lost flocks and flocks of chickens. I mean, they just don't do
that. Because that was the primary industry, wasn't it,
well,
here?
You had everybody working on the water, just about.
Yeah.
Okay, either archery, clamming, fishing, having driven dredge boats, fishing boats. And what then had chicken houses. And it's just like Chicken City Road. I mean, that was nothing but chicken houses down. And on the Madison Boulevard, from my house where I lived, maybe 40 yards, was starting up chicken houses. And you see that chicken houses up there, you know, on Taylor Street, they had chicken, I had chicken houses behind us. Mr. Taylor had his head. And he had 1, 2, He had three chicken houses behind us.
Are those the long ones that we had now?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They were, well, went from basically halfway of our, right back of our house, going on to the other side of Taylor Street. And it was like three of them. And then, like I say, Nimbus Need, he had one, two, three, I think six of them on the end of Mass Boulevard and Fishing Boulevard.
Well, isn't that one of the chicken houses that's left for the Mariner Hotel? Not
there. Across the street from the Mariner Hotel there?
What's the name of that?
Seahawk?
Yeah.
Seahawk.
Their chicken houses originally. They,
really?
They are originally.
You see how long they are?
And they're now a motel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder if they fumigated them.
What's the name of that hotel?
Seahawk.
Oh, okay.
Two of them left there.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Watson has it now.
Fascinating.
But they were originally chicken houses.
Oh, my gosh. I
think
wonder how many people know
they're saying that.
Well,
that's they were.
Well, and so it was exciting, but it was dangerous. So they made you have fight for shots.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came back, and was things must have been chaotic.
Well, I think they lost, if I'm not mistaken, if you remember, I think they lost two bridges coming to the island. Two bridges washed out, or right before you get to the bridge, the land before the highway.
Mm-hmm. The causeway?
The causeway. And it was, people's cars were on the causeway, they lost them. And boats in town, all these cool big drag boats and everything, they were laying crisscross in the road, middle of the road. In town at that time, right where the park is now, Reed Park,
mm-hmm.
Moore Park, there used to be a silco store there.
What?
Silco. S-I-L-C-O. It used to be, it's a like a modern day Walmart. But that used to run right here. Right beside it was a Western Auto store. Then it was Alice's Dress Shop. And then it was
Crazy
Ross. He had a IGA.
Mm-hmm. And Crazy Shop.
Missing the, yeah, they had some sub shop. But during the storm, one of the boats broke free, and it took and demolished the silver store. I mean, it was gone.
Whoa.
It was nothing. Part of the Western Auto store stood. Bicycles were everywhere. I mean, I can remember all that.
And at that time, those bigger boats were tying up down by the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly where they were tying up, but the town dock? Or on this side of town, though?
Must have been. Well, a lot of the guys, they, like I said, they never lived off the wharf. They had their fishing boats. They were mm-hmm. mackerel fishing mm-hmm. and all kind of net fishing. And they just tied on the wharf from there.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. I mean, it just come up and...
It fell pretty fast. I mean, you said there were cars trapped out of the causeway. It must have...
Well, what happened, it had... We had hot, it was almost like full wind, which makes a regular high tide,
you know,
a flood, big flood tide. And the wind come around with just like more Easter, for lack of better words. And all that coming together just made for astronomical high tide.
And it came fast.
Yes.
You could watch it, sit out there and just look out and just watch it come up.
Yeah.
So your family made a decision to stay on the island that night.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have gone off.
Oh, yeah. We wanted them to, but yeah.
Yeah. No one thought it was going to be that bad. Really, the majority of the water started rising close to dark. It was late in the afternoon, and by the next morning, when everyone realized.
And then you wake up and there's water.
We woke up there first, it popped up out of the floor and slowed the rain. And listen, we got the worst of the rain.
So your living room was enough water and the flood.
Mm-hmm.
You must have 2-3 feet of water at least.
We had them come upstairs. But we lived across the side of the funeral
room,
and it's lower air than there.
You must have had to do, the whole island must have had to do so much repair work.
Well, my first thing was, you know, get the causeway back, and the safety of that. And then, even when you come home, I mean, I can't speak for myself. We got home, my mom and dad used to get these little golden books that we kids used to have.
Mm-hmm.
We had how many of them? I can remember mom taking them and just throwing them outdoors and just having them, giving it a war and everything. And cleaning all the day.
And so much of that water must have been contaminated because of the septic systems were not really
Well, the worst on the island here was, I guess you could say, would be from the chickens. Horses and stuff have been over on acetate.
Well, the chickens would all be stuck in those buildings.
And so you didn't get, your life didn't get back to normal for a while.
No, because the elementary school.
They closed down?
Yeah, because we went, was that the time we went to the
Baptist? That's when Coleman Park.
That's right.
We went to Methodist Church.
That's the church.
So when did you get back to school after the flood?
I don't remember, but I know it was a long time.
Yeah, it was a long, long time.
I think it might have been April, end of April, mm-hmm. sometime. I'm not sure exactly. I know it was a long time in between.
It was for a while there, we had pushed as far as 50 years and everything.
And the date of the flood was?
March.
Ash Wednesday.
March 17, 1963.
52.
52.
How old were you? How old were you?
I was 7.
And he was 9. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next huge event was the fire, I guess, right?
At elementary
school. Yeah. Is this the Red Brick Elementary School? Mm-hmm. And do you remember when that date was? When was that fire?
It was in like 4th, 5th. I think it was in 5th
grade.
Sometime in that area.
So it was before the flood?
No, it was after.
Right by after the flood. Not too long
after
the
flood.
Not too long after the flood. Because that was in the boiler room, that caught fire.
And we're all the kids at the first night. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were kids. We heard Colin Barr, we were like, yeah! But it wasn't yet when we went to the Methodist Church school. And we were in a classroom. We thought we were out of school. Joseph and I.
Oh, dear.
But during the flood, it come so bad, and that it actually took imploding caskets up out of the graves. They were floating. In mm-hmm. Canyon, you know, where I remember people telling me that. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it myself. I mean,
what a huge reconstruction must mm-hmm. have taken place. Everybody must have just spent their whole life, every day at it. Mm-hmm.
Well, did they tear down a lot of old buildings and things like that, or start over with?
The worst one, like I say, I knew it, demolished the Silver Store. They tore the Western Auto Store down.
Were they on Main Street?
Right on Main Street.
Uh-huh.
Right in the heart of town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was that many other buildings that were torn down. They were the only ones that come in my mind and were bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody had water damage. Because at that time, you either had a floor furnace or like a secret heater inside. And people with floor furnaces, they just had to get them all fixed up.
You mentioned your grandparents, whose name were Jones. Is that those are your grandparents?
Yes.
Were they related to Ralph and Roy Jones? Is that the same family? So they had come from originally. Tell about them a little bit.
Well, my grandpa James and my grandma Melissa lived on acetate.
In the little village.
Mm-hmm, in the little village. And my mom, they had Uncle Ralph. Let's see, Aunt Ruth, Uncle Ralph, Elizabeth, and then my mom, Beth. And she had one son that died, I believe, at childbirth birth, and he's buried right at the foot of Astor Bridge. But
do you have
David Sneed is, you know, working on restoring that cemetery.
I hope he does.
And he's working very hard on it. So maybe your old friend is going to find the burial ground of your late, would have been your late brother.
As soon as you go across the Pumple, it was his name, right? As soon as you go across the bridge, it's right to your left, maybe 100 yards, if that.
Well, I talked to him very recently about this, and the Park Service is very interested in working with him.
Well, it's my understanding there's a couple of good words over there.
Uh-huh.
And that one is open up close to the lighthouse it used to be.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember those days. Yeah. Did you hear some good stories from your grandparents?
Well, my grandma used to tell me when, and this is not appropriate for this time of year. She said her and her sister, Maggie Edith, they lived
were there by the lighthouse because her dad was a keeper there, and they lived in the house. Well, it was a trail going down to like a root cellar they had there. They were going down this trail, and she says that she saw a ghost. I mean, a real live ghost, is what my grandma used to say. She said, we looked at it, came through the tree, come out on the other side, and might need to try to verify it, and that's what she used to tell me.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was, and my grandpa, this time of year, he used to say, and through the keyhole, the way I go, that's little ghost stories and stuff.
Oh, my.
But it was kind of creepy.
Well, do you have pictures or, you know, any kind of letters or anything from these, from your grandmother? Grandfather. What's her name? He was Jones.
John and Elsie Jones.
John Burke Jones.
Yeah.
Elsie Quilla Jones.
What's her name? Did she grow up in there?
Yes.
What's her name today?
Quilla.
Oh, okay.
Her husband was Samuel Quilla, and he was the keeper of the land.
Her dad.
Her dad, yeah. Do you remember any stories about him?
No.
They're working on a lot of lighthouse history now. But I imagine you went to that program.
We were in Lancaster that week.
Oh, you couldn't go. That was too bad. But I think it was an interesting program. Verna Cherix is really, really interested in the lighthouse history.
Well, she's the director of it.
Oh, that's good. Great.
Pictures now.
My grandma and grandpa, they lived there. And they moved over here in the 40s, like the 40s, and they moved off the past there.
How did they move, do you suppose?
Well,
by boat?
The government actually took and bought their land, and they come over here. And I can remember my grandma said they took and rented a place to my grandpa built their house on there, and then him and his brothers took them together and built a house because my grandpa's house was here. Almost across the street was Dan Jones, who was his brother, and about three houses down the road from there was Fred Jones, who was my grandpa's brother. So, I mean, everybody was kind of safe.
Well, family compound.
Mm-hmm.
You know where those houses are still there?
They're still there now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, talk a little bit more about Assateague and the people who lived on Assateague and how they lost their land there.
Well, my understanding was the government bought land and told them they had to move off the island.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, survey, I think my grandma and grandpa were here in the 40s. And they bought the Porter House on Hannah Avenue. I don't know exactly why the government bought it, but.
But you had a different memory, Mary Alice.
No, this has just been got over the last couple of weeks.
What did you hear?
Just that. What is the man's field's name was? He bought a lot of property over there and wouldn't allow some of the people there to use the water
right.
Or lights or something there. So everyone started selling because of it to the government, which is illegal.
And when they moved, did they have to move by boat? Because the bridge had not been built.
No.
But they didn't bring their house to them, right?
Some of the people did. They took in, they cut down like big pine trees and made rollers. And would take the house and roll it down to the edge of the marsh and take over the big monitors. And they would roll the house onto the monitor.
Like a raft, you mean?
Mm-hmm. And they would take and actually float it, mast it over to the eastern side.
They brought the schoolhouse over that way.
They brought the schoolhouse, yeah.
Which schoolhouses is this?
The one on Assateague, the old schoolhouse.
No, but I mean, where is it here?
It's right beside Tar Lane on the east side. The big house, the Tridon Tar Lane, the big house. The old schoolhouse that brought everyone built into their house.
So I know there are a lot of houses, a number of houses here, which had been on Assateague.
Right at the end of Mass Boulevard, this is what was told me. At the end of Mass Boulevard, where you've got the, used to be the Mariner Motel,
what
is it now?
Yeah, something
like
that. Well, in that cafe. That house there. That was over here from Assateague.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
What was your grandpa?
I believe it was my grandpa's.
Well, those people were really, very, I think they were very brave. First of all, to have lived on Assateague So then everything had to come by boat to them.
Well, I've got to tell you that just quite recently that my grandmom had his grandpa give an interview to a lady. And some of the tapes that I've listened to, they, for school, they used to take them come grow over here. Every morning, they go grow over here, dock the boat, go to school, get off, get out of school, go back to the boat, go back to the past there. I mean, that's how just, and all the food and supplies, they'd come over here, get the food and stuff, and then go back to the past there. My grandma used to say that they would, when she was a little girl, they would take a boat, her and her brother Grayson, and he would sail the boat over here and put them on the eastern side, stop the boat, then they would take and walk to school, go to school, and one day during the week, I can remember my grandma on this tape saying that she took him to have music lessons, and it would be nightfall before she would get back on the acid.
And they would let her wait for her?
Yeah.
I wonder how old she was. I mean, I wonder when this would be that she was, say, 1900 or something like that?
It would have to be, yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I remember Nathan Hill told me that his ancestors lived on Assateague and were descendants of Assateague Indians.
I don't know about that.
Well, anyway, he said that too. Any more stories about your grandmother?
I can remember that. Well, I did know one thing that was very interesting. My grandma and grandpa, they took a runaway not married. And I never knew that until this past week. They lived here on down, or right here, and they took him, I said, they come across to Franklin City, and they went to Greenbackville to get married, just on the other side of Maryland.
They took the ferry?
Yeah.
Why did they have to go to Maryland?
Well, that was where license were issued from Maryland.
I see.
And that was something interesting to me, to hear back from my grandma and grandpa.
Now tell us a little bit about the neighborhood. You had some stories about the neighborhoods that were on the Chincoteague Islands.
When I was coming up, we had different parts of the island had different names. Like you had Madcap, you had Depot, you had Snotty Ridge, you had Dying City, Tick-Tang, you had Dying Marsh, Up Neck, different places like that. And what it was just a general vicinity of the place that Snotty Ridge, which is what we call Red Road. Okay, Chicken City was actually the road's name, Chicken City Road. And Depot, Tick Tang was on the other end of Will Street, where you live.
Why did they call things like Dodge City? Why did they call it that?
I can't actually. The only thing I've heard, and this was from my mom and dad, was that on a Saturday night, some of the, and I don't know this for fact or it's fiction, but some of the people would get pretty happy.
Rowdy?
Yeah. They call it Dodge City. Dodge City was looked at by Harry Tarr thing. You know, Harry's Tarr, he's at the store. That was really one about her.
Now, in each of these neighborhoods, as I understand it, there usually was a cemetery and a store. Is that right?
Well, I don't know so much about cemeteries, but everywhere around there was a store.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like where the Unibank Strip is right now, right across the street was Jester Store, Leon Jester Store. Maybe we know what kind of way there. Well, right up to Bay on Pencil Street, about halfway was Raymond Carpenter's store.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my grandma and grandpa was doing. Then you had Satchel's right down on the other end of Will Street. You had Satchel's. Then on the shorefront there, I can remember Wheeler Watson had his store on one corner, and there was another one on the other side. I can't remember who that was.
And these people were all in competition with each other, weren't they?
These were all general stores from the store. Did you go
buy your milk and bread? And on the eastern side, you had Harry Tarr's store. Then down the, like you're going from the high school, on the left-hand side,
there was a store up there.
Who was touring
at that time? There was a store. And then we were heading past the carnival grain, they broke the store right there. And there was another one down there. So I mean, it was like each location went out. Barrett's had store. And there was one of your depots. Education store.
Mm-hmm.
Right there by Circle Drive. Mm-hmm. He had his store there. And they would have milk and bread and whatever.
And when, did your grandmother ever go for a big shopping someplace? And if so, where did she go?
Well, when I was coming up, our big trip was to go across the car to go across New City. That was the place.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can just call that, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the trip. I mean, it's close. Mm-hmm. Because on the island here, under the bridge, there used to be a Wrangler car dealership. And that was owned by Bob Mattis, I believe. That was on one side of it. And on the other side, it all had its pool room in the place.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
that? Well, we went off in. You know, when we were young, we never left the island unless it's something important.
Well, you had everything here. You had, well, McGrath sold it. He had a men's clothing store, a women's clothing store. You had Gillis's, what's his first name? Jack Gillis's dad. He had a men's clothing store. Bobby Tim, the Ben Franklin store. He had everything that you needed here. We had a clothing store on Cleveland Street for big groceries. Then you had the IGA in town for groceries. The hardware store for like, Conan Bros was down on my Coast Guard dock. Then you had Shower Bells, which was right from town to Mark Ralph's store. So, I mean, you had, then on the eastern side, you had Harry Tall's store. Oh, that was one that we just I remember in my fall of rain, there was a store there, where Papa used to go. Shower Bells.
Yeah.
Charles Dawson, he had everything.
Mm-hmm.
From food to food, popular stores, everything. That was. Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many people populated the island then. And these are a lot of stores, too.
Mm-hmm. About $1,500.
More than
$1,500. And if people wanted something, they could either go across the causeway or have to go across, or they could take. And the ferry wasn't working then, was it?
No. Mm-hmm. No, causeway. It was causeway, but I can't remember when causeway was put in. Because at first, when it was put in, mm-hmm. It was a toll road.
1900 and.
But that was put in as a toll road.
Oh, was it? A toll road?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was mud and plants. It was put at the top. Or there might be a road going across.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember if I popped on that.
His dad was from Austin, and he was out there with them, and Dad said, of course, you had to work and set out to come down. And Dad said his dad was doing the Austin, and he turned to look up the watch and put the bridge up, and his father didn't talk to him and said, you can't wait that hour to get back to work. And Dad said, couldn't watch you do it, and Dad would let him.
Oh, we interviewed Miss Rosamond Carter. Yes, she was here. And she was at the dedication for the causeway. And she was 4, and it was her birthday. And she thought all that celebration was for her birthday. I should know that date.
the stores, like you were saying, each part of the island, it was almost like kindness. I don't want to use the word kindness, but everybody's, kind of stating. And the young boys at that time, if you took one across somebody's crying, you didn't fight your way back.
Did you two grow up in the same area?
No.
No. I grew up in Aspen Boulevard and she grew up on Mill Street.
I mean, that was not part of the same?
No.
At that time, no. We got more civilized then. It's like not like that.
But you notice on the island, there's different speech. I mean, they thought we even talk different. Some things I say, people say, you were always actually instead of you.
Mm-hmm.
But we both grew up here, but it's what part of the island you grew up on that you learned to talk. Down to Sick County?
Mm-hmm.
No, not Rich. That area. Those people, oh my goodness, you think I talk to them?
Take time.
Bruce.
Oh, we had a Wildcat.
That's all we got. Wildcat.
That's all we got.
Wildcat. Do people live out there?
No. They don't think we were out there. Wildcat was mosquitoes. Well, see, Wildcat, when I was a young kid, my dad and mom was out from one place. My mom and dad said, never go. He says, taboo. Because a guy by the name of Greer Dirksen, he had a wild hog up there. And he raised him up there. And he says, you stay away from there, so you know the adventure that far.
Does he, is he the person who had a mink farm, too? Do you remember anybody who had a mink farm?
Greer farm? He did. He was an entrepreneur. I'll tell you what, I worked with him. He's kind of asked for a nice man. He worked over there with Gene. And, clams, markers, I've got red bees and everything. I'll watch a clam grow and find you. I've seen it with my own eyes. Kid you not, it's not crazy, but I've seen it.
Wow.
Clams on pine needles. In other words, he had inside his buildings up there. When we were coming off that, we're taking part down on pine needles and go back out to the bay. And I actually seen a clam growing on pine needles. I kid you not. It was interesting. But growing up here, it was real good.
Did you go to the movies?
Yeah. Cost you a quarter.
And it was called Rocky
Road?
I don't know.
Well, they say at one time you had House Theater, Isle Theater. Can I say what's the name?
Isle Theater. And ILFLE on the first one.
Wait, and they had a...
Where are these three different places?
Okay, let's see. You know where the Automotive Center is?
Yes.
Okay. Going south, maybe two or three buildings, there was a theater there.
And long man.
Where long man? Right now, there. It was called Powell Theater.
No.
Yeah, that was Powell. And the Owl Theater is where it is right now. And
the obvious and the third time.
Three is very close proximity.
They also
had only two roads at a time, though. What I mean by that.
They also had a bowling alley. And that was down there by Powell, I think it was.
I'm not sure.
I do recall Dad sitting up at a bowling alley.
And skating ring.
The skating ring was on top of the municipal building that Hang uses now for the bar truck.
The garage, the Harper Street.
There was a skating rink on top of that. And there was a jail right beside that.
Yeah, but a jail.
I think there is still a jail there.
That little building is not much bigger than the room right here. But it was a jail.
I heard it had three cells in it.
And you have what now?
Two offices. Dr. Shelley and Dr. Fagley.
Yeah, Dr. Shelley was on Willow Street, and Dr. Fagley was at the Mass Boulevard.
And so you didn't have the Allen Medical Center at Florida. Was Dr. Allen's present office where there was other doctors?
Dr. Allen's office was the original Dr. Shelley's place.
Okay.
And my mom, like I said, my mom used to work for him, and he lived up through all of Main Street. And we had a dentist, Dr. Hawkins. He was at the end of Mass Boulevard, where the pharmacy is now. And when I was a kid growing up, in town, you had H&H Pharmacy. That was where Dr. Hennig, that was the original. That was right downtown. Because when I was a kid growing up, I used to take them bills after school. I was working to the soda store, which had been rebuilt on the left-hand side where the t-shirt place is now. I used to be a stockholder and everything there at school. But on the way taking the mail to the post office, I had to just called me there to get his orange rush, and they had the best ice cream. It was H&H Pharmacy.
Downtown.
It is right now, it's on the corner. You know where Kevin McBride is?
Mm-hmm.
It's between Kevin McBride and the dress shop on the end of the corner.
Ocean Pearl?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the finally H&H moved up.
Mm-hmm.
To
it was H&H. At that time, when I was a little boy growing up, you had Gallagher's, which is right where Don Seafood is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right next building, going towards Red, that was what we called John Gallagher's. That was the meeting place for all men in the morning. They had coffee, all talk and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That was John Gallagher's. And if they weren't to Gallagher's, then they were to Bill Clark's, which was right on the corner.
Next to Bill
Seafood. They had a restaurant there, it was called Bill Clark's. They were two new places for men in the morning. Other than that, we're across the street where the short shop, or the library, what you call it now, it used to be Jones Mason's gas station. That, and the night, you find a bunch of guys out there talking politics and everything. I mean, that's where all the old guys used to go, Jones Mason's.
These are guys from all over the island, all the communities.
Mm-hmm. They go there, talk politics, or things that happen during the day and everything.
They're still meeting on this island. Yes,
there are
some places.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, as a kid, that's, I can recall.
Uh-huh. And you go there for a while.
I've worked here at Mason's for a while. I've been
asking. Uh-huh.
We stand with Jones and Mason.
Jones and Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason still owns it, yes.
That's Mason Oil Company. I'm going to different set of Masons. The Masons, let's see. It was Ernest Jones, Paul James Mason. It was Ernest Jones because he was married from his dad. They lived across the street from my grandma's mother. And the Masons, Floyd Mason, and he was a brother, Bill. They were the two Masons ahead. There's two Masons and James, that's how they got named James Masons. Two brothers named Floyd and Bill Mason. And the James brothers are Ernest Jones.
What relation is Floyd Mason's Tommy Mason?
I'm not sure who it is.
Floyd is his brother.
Okay. It was Tommy, Floyd, Bill Mason. They're all related because, like I said, the original was Bill Mason and
that's all right.
I'm
going to ask a question.
It was Bill Mason. He lived on Pencil Street. And his brother.
Yeah.
It was Floyd's dad.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, it's Floyd's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bill Floyd was the original owner's name. Bill Mason had his son was named Bill. And then there was Floyd. He had son named Floyd. And one of them, I can't remember which one had the one named Tom. As he was saying. But the gentleman guy was Ernest Jones, and he had a boy named Dickie who works up to Thomas Fair Campground.
So if you go back just a little tiny bit, most everybody's interrelated in some way. Tell a little bit about what you did when you were young for amusement. What kinds of things did you do? Were you out on the water? Did you go fishing? Did you go to the beach?
Well, she didn't buy a sea place to work. That's one thing I can say. I heard a little about swimming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. My dad, he was always on the water. In the summertime, we had a bicycle we could ride, anywhere we wanted to. But it's not like this day and time now. When we were kids growing up, we had to work again. And in the summertime, you may ask your friend of mine, and what I did, I used to have asking for people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wasn't doing that, I was over with my grandpa's and helping him in his garden. Or I'd go with him, and he was, like I said, carpenter by trade. And then I'd help him, remodel people's houses and stuff. But we still had fun playing and all, but you always had some kind of tools to take care of.
There was not much television and so forth.
Not like you have this day.
No PlayStation.
No PlayStation.
That's all kind of TVs about the time that the show went up or something, remember?
Oh.
Germany?
Mm-hmm.
The very first one.
1960. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was much as far as we were consistent for we got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was one thing.
By some time, yeah. Put this joint forward, get the software, you know, 16 software.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember my grandma, my dad's mom, she was working for Mr. Norman Hastings in Baldwin Rock. And one year, she was going to surprise us with a brand new Christmas tree. It was one of the space age Christmas trees. I don't know if you can recall. It was silver trees. And mom and dad, they thought it was the most beautiful thing. And it had these golden blue balls on there. I thought it was that ugliest looking tree I've been seeing. And it lasted one, maybe 2 years, and then it went by my eyes. I can remember that. No, I didn't like that. But one of my most memorable things was shooting her father.
Mm-hmm. You know what? About eight?
Something like that.
Oh.
I'll play Dennis up to this, and I'll let her tell a story from this.
You know what I mean? You know, my father worked for Tony Shinsley, and he went around each month and read the meters, the water meters in the ground. And he'd look the lid and he'd reach down and he said, got to the point, he'd ready for one of the man's full bars. Because if we were blue, he'd shoot them with an air gun, a little BB gun. And he said, he went there one day and he lifted up and he looked out there and he said, something told him to look up. And he did, the little boy shot him in. And when I started dating Bill, he came home one day and got talking to him and we were, he knew his family being put together. So when he told exactly where he lived, Dad said, God, the little boy shot me all the time. He had the biggest laugh for that. So to this day, Dad says, you know, my daughter married a man that shot me all the time. I'm like, is this you? Oh my gosh.
This is probably too bad.
She'd have
been a
butt. Yeah, so he waited until he got over and he'd shoot. Oh my gosh. So he was so quiet as a child, he wouldn't believe it. And they all were. And then
shy? They were shy?
Indiana, mm-hmm. She's.
Well, look what happened. We crushed her. Look at Alan shooting his father.
Yeah, they were never good old days.
Did you ever go to the beach? And you had a beach somewhere.
No. The only time I went to the beach was when I started dating Pearl. When you're working with Mr. Stucker.
Yeah, I worked with him in Catholic League when we used to have the restaurant there. It's been a long, long time.
How was that?
We used to have a restaurant right on the water. Right on, when you go over to the beach, to the left-hand side, there's a big parking lot. Well, now, of course, if the building was there, it'd be off in the water. But that's how far it's come up. It'd be way back where it was a really big building.
You had to walk almost 200-300 yards. Before you got to this restaurant.
Mm-hmm. It was Space and Chickatee?
No, it was Space and Chickatee.
Oh, Space and
Chickatee. Restaurant.
Yeah, we did, we walked up, it was a long steps. I think we had to go up probably 15 to 20 steps to get inside. It was really up high. And once you got inside, it was very large and a big open area, and we did hamburger hot dogs, french fries, drinks, and we got seafood, you know, of course, this fish stuff, which is fantastic. And then they had one area you pick up the food, the other area you could sit in the big dining room and eat it.
Beautiful view.
Oh, it was.
It was right there on the
fish. And I worked there for one summer. And 11, I guess 2 years later when they condemned it because water and everything and the water was starting to come up closer. And they eventually tore it down.
So. When do you remember when that might have been?
That was about 69, 70. And you forgot it. Oh boy, forget that. No, he took me to the movies. That's when I knew that night I was going to that man or doing something. Because he could sit me up, sit me to the movies. We were sitting in there, we weren't there, 10 minutes? When all of a sudden, when the movie started, something came up that was inappropriate, I guess. And Bill just gently reached over and he didn't touch me or anything. Reached over, took my hand, and said, this is a poor girl's watch. And he stood me up that night and he was awful. And I thought, wow, what do you get to say? We left and we took him for a ride and then we went to the carnival. And I went home that night and told Mom, I'm a mayor now.
Well, Bobby and I, we just graduated June 71. And we promised our best season, so we arrived on the home line. And we walked along, and Rouse and her cousin were walking to it. So somehow Greg, he was my buddy, we stopped there and we started talking to him. What y'all doing, this, that, and the other? Old time she's shifting from one book to another, kind of answer. And I said, go on a date next night. So she said, yeah. Well, we left and we turned the bed off.
Well, come find out a little bit later. Watch this romance. You can make it in the restroom. But she made fun of us. And I
always had information. I wasn't allowed to go out on dates the night first after my mother if I was trying to go. And that night, the day after that, I said, yeah. And he said, what time do you want? And I said, oh, what time do you want? And he said, 6:30 or 7. I said, okay, I'll be right. And I went and told my mother, I said, I'm going to go tomorrow night. She said, okay, great for you. But she knew I had a crush on him for 2.5 years before. Yes, ma'am.
So you had some other dates before that?
Yeah, they had some before that. And I just said, no. No, the one before him, the preacher signed him. And I said, that was my last preacher sign. He was the worst one I ever did. But now he was there.
It was
fun.
Well, I've heard about that restaurant on the ocean before. Is that, has it been there a long time?
Miss Stucky, I'm
Stucky's. Oh, Stucky's. It was a chain.
No, it wasn't Mr. Stucky.
Not Stucky's, like on the mainland.
It's the main class thing. You just come up in Maryland.
Yeah.
I can't remember the first name. Lou.
Lou.
Lou Stuck. Stucky. Stucky.
Stuck. Was it for people who went to the beach? Did they come up there and get hamburgers?
Did you eat it right there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People would walk the whole length to the beach to come up there and get something to eat and take it back?
When I was a kid, the sand dunes were almost as tall as your ceilings here, not like what you see now.
No.
I mean, right now
it's just like a marsh flat.
Now it's just like a marsh flat.
And hay grass all over. You need to cover the marsh flat.
But yeah, I guess that's one of my beats. Up in the Maryland side of Bastig, Maryland people, they built the jetties out to trap the sand that comes out and comes down here. And I guess it's from my beach right now. I mean, I can see, it hurts to take and see just like the pine beetles up there. The whole section, when we were kids growing up, the pines were thick and beautiful over there. Now, they're gone.
Mm.
And it seems to me like the government's not taking time to take and fix things up. In other words, they don't put the jetties out to trap the sand so that you have more beach, so you can have sandy, because you got to think of it this way. If you lose acetate and they have a big storm,
yeah,
this is going to happen to Shankton.
Right.
It's still mobilized. And that's...
But you have to deal with the Ocean City, Maryland to get those jetties out.
Well,
wouldn't you?
No, because I mean, it's far enough from Ocean City, that we could put our own jetties out and trap the dirt. Because I had my grandpa, he told me that when he was a young kid coming up, right where the lighthouse is, was like the inlet.
Yeah.
And the cove would come in there, because we were 3-mast sailing ships used to come in there. It was that deep of water. But you can see how it's built up. And you can see right now, that as soon as you go across the Aztec on the right-hand side, where it would wash over a couple times inside the cave, I was cutting out more and more each time. Eventually, it's not going to be no time's cave, I would think. I mean, nature's...
Yeah, it sounds great.
Well, I want to thank you very much for telling your stories today. It's been very interesting.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time, both of you.
That was really very interesting.